Blunt versus Battaglia. Mr. Cohen.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Joe. It's always a pleasure.
Right. Good afternoon, Mr. Cohen. We've been staring at each other now for 40 years, Mr. Cohen.
Well, just about. I mean, I've been actually been practicing for 44, will be.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And at least you're not commenting on my tie today, Your Honor, as you've done in the past. And
but you were admitted in 62?
I was admitted at 62 in November. But before I was admitted, my last year, I was working in a Paul Crump case.
I was admitted in 62 also.
Well, it
I was admitted in 51, but I'm keeping it a secret.
But maybe I should ask before we get serious as a question, you know, as a... does the court know who was the first person in the Old Testament to act as a criminal defense lawyer?
No, I don't.
Anybody else? It's Abraham. He argues with God to save the people in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a rumor going around that when he was there, I was standing next to him telling him what to say, but that's not true.
And there's a rumor that I was a busboy at the Last Supper, too. But that's also not true.
In this case, my client was denied effective assistance of counsel, and the appellate court said no, because they said the evidence was overwhelming, and that statement is as accurate as if somebody said I was a thin man. The evidence in this case was that my client was, according to Mr. Holmes, who was also charged with murder in this case, whose charges were dropped against him in exchange for his testimony against my client, that my client was driving the car, and that, more importantly, that when they came to the street where somebody was doing the shooting, my client was not the shooter. My client said, "There are those guys," or words to that effect. There is no other evidence that my client said that, and there is no other evidence that my client was driving around for a long period of time. The only other evidence was three girls who sometimes 15 or 20 minutes, 10 minutes before the incident, saw my client driving the car. Now, to make that overwhelming evidence is an absurdity.
There were three of them, weren't there?
They all said the same thing, though.
Yeah, well, I know, but that's consistency. That doesn't lower the value of it. It increases the value. The more
not
people
necessarily.
That say so.
Three people seeing the same thing doesn't mean anything. If
well,
it means
they saw it.
They saw it 15 minutes earlier.
Okay.
But that doesn't have it.
Six eyes versus two.
Hmm?
It
doesn't mean
two.
That he was involved in the planning of the shooting.
But he was driving the car.
He was driving at some point near that. So what? That may corroborate, Mr. Holmes, that my client was driving the car,
right.
But it clearly doesn't make the evidence overwhelming that my client was a knowingly participant in the shooting.
Nope. True.
Okay? And that's the crucial issue here. And especially in this case where the defense lawyer did argue to the jury very weakly, well, you know, he's lying. But as we all know, jurors are always told what defense lawyers say don't count, in a sense. It's not the law, and it's not the facts. But there is law that the jury could have heard, which is very different than the instruction was given. And that law is the testimony of an accomplice, which I may read to you. When a witness says he was involved in the commission of a crime with the defendant, the testimony of that witness is subject to suspicion and should be considered with caution. It should be carefully examined in light of the other evidence in the case. There's no harm, no strategic reason for not to give that instruction. It's not like the old accomplice instruction, which used to say when a guy was involved with the defendant, which implies the defendant was involved. And there was another instruction about the believability may be impeached and challenged by inconsistent statements that should have been given, because he said we gave inconsistent statements. And the state appellate court said, well, they really weren't that inconsistent. Why is it not inconsistent when, according to the Holmes, the whole motive for the shooting was that somebody had previously shot at Mr. Moore, and that he doesn't tell people initially that Mr. Moore is in the car? I mean, that would appear to many jurors as being very inconsistent. So those instructions should have been given. there is absolutely no strategic reason why they weren't given, and then even the state and in both all the courts. And to say that the evidence was overwhelming is just an unfounded statement of facts, and therefore, under the standard of in the habeas corpus should be granted in this case. I mean, it's that simple. We don't have anything else. It wasn't four or five other people who said that the defendant said or the defendant was involved. We have a defendant driving a car, and I've been involved in these drive-by cases, and, you know, may I invite you to go and see a movie? It's a long time ago. It was about in Texas where kids are driving up and down the street and everything else like that. And merely because you're driving up and down the street doesn't mean that you're involved in an intent or desire to shoot somebody. There's just no evidence of defendant's intent to be an accomplice here other than Holmes. And they didn't give these important instructions as to Holmes. And there's absolutely no strategic reason. There's not overwhelming evidence. The state court, the reviewing court, and they say it's overwhelming. That's just not overwhelming evidence. I mean, it might even the district court says, well, it was corroborative. So what if it's corroborative? A little bit. It's corroborative that he was in the car, but it's clearly not overwhelming. This case should be reversed. I thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cohen. Mr. Benton?
You don't have to give the year of your admission to the practice of law.
I hope the court won't take in defense my admission in 1990.
Oh, my goodness.
Your Honors, the issue before this court is simple. It is not whether certain instructions should have been given, nor is it whether there was sufficient evidence to convict the petitioner. The only issue before this court is whether the petitioner received ineffective assistance of counsel. The court must look exclusively at the prejudice prong of Strickland v. Washington first, and the test for prejudice is clear, that there was a reasonable probability that but for counsel's unprofessional errors, the result of the proceeding would have been different. And there's not been any showing that the tendering of the instructions in question, the result of the trial would have been different. What the petitioner seems to be doing is trying to switch the burden. In Illinois, a court's failure to give a jury instruction is viewed under harmless error. And one aspect of that test is whether the evidence was overwhelming. It's a completely different standard.
Mr. Cohen disagrees that it was overwhelming. Why do you say it's... Isn't it basically Holmes' testimony?
No, Your Honor. It wasn't simply Holmes' testimony. It was Holmes' testimony that was corroborated by the three witnesses, Poole, Williams, and Hughes.
According to Mr. Cohen, they only corroborated the fact that that your client was driving the car.
Well, Officer Donna Lewis, on page 122 of the record, testified that she was told by an eyewitness that the shots came from a red Chevy driven by three black males. The three witnesses, Hughes, Poole, and Williams, testified that petitioner was driving a four-door, a red Chevrolet, within 10 minutes. But that's not entirely what Mr. Cohen is saying, isn't entirely what this court should be looking at. There's no reason to exclude Holmes' testimony. That testimony was properly before the jury and part of their deliberation. To ignore valid evidence is inappropriate since this is a Strickland claim and not a review of the sufficiency of the evidence. What the counsel is...
But it was you who said the evidence was overwhelming. Why would the fact that suppose there's overwhelming evidence that he was driving the car, would that make him guilty of murder?
Well, no, that wouldn't make him murder of evidence. But there's more than that in this case. There are three witnesses who testified he's driving a car, the specific car that was identified by a witness to the crime. And the fact is, again, he is asking...
But assuming he was driving the car, don't you need more than that to make him guilty of murder?
Well, you have more than that. You have the testimony of Holmes and what he said.
Yes, I know, but the overwhelming evidence that I thought you were going to describe to us is overwhelming evidence that your client was guilty of murder, not overwhelming evidence that he was driving the car. You could be driving a car and the person with you pull out a gun and shoot someone, right? You wouldn't be guilty of murder.
No, but the jury in this case, it was simply more...
Hold on. Did Holmes tell the jury that Blount was driving the car?
Holmes testified that not only Blount was driving the car, but he drove the car when the gun was retrieved, he slowed the car down to allow the attack, and he specifically identified the target. That's all before the jury, and that's all...
That's fine. That's certainly admissible evidence, but isn't that the only evidence that he's guilty of murder, as opposed to driving a car?
Your Honor, what you are looking at and what counsel is trying to do is have the court reweigh the evidence. The jury heard evidence not only from...
When you said the evidence was overwhelming, I thought you meant the evidence of Blount's guilt of murder was overwhelming.
There was overwhelming evidence
that he knew that he would participated in the attack rather than just driving a car and someone...
But there
happens to shoot someone that he doesn't know about it.
But there is evidence.
The evidence was overwhelming, quoting the appellate court of Illinois?
Well, the appellate court found it overwhelming. And
that's where you quoted from.
Yes,
in terms
and you
of
are looking at
evidence.
The evidence in total, Your Honor.
Yeah.
And
so it's not your idea. It was the appellate court of Illinois that described it as overwhelming evidence.
Yes.
I think that's where we got hung up.
And it was a reasonable
But the
decision.
Only evidence of his guilt of murder is Holmes's testimony. Right?
But that's valid evidence. That was before the jury.
But
the
how
jury
is that
can
overwhelming. I don't understand. It's just someone's say-so, right?
Because the appellate court says so.
Well, the appellate court, all we are we have to show that the
How can Holmes's evidence be overwhelming? It's just his testimony. He's trying to shift or share blame with someone else. Why does that make it overwhelming?
Because the jury heard Holmes's evidence, and the jury heard inconsistencies, and it was before the trier of fact to weigh.
What's so peculiar about your argument is that your opponent's whole idea is that the jury should have been invited to be skeptical about Holmes because he was an accomplice.
The jury was invited to be skeptical. Don't forget, Your Honor, there was an instruction by counsel, defense counsel.
Counsel don't give instructions.
Well, counsel requests instructions, and the court gives the instructions about the believability of Holmes. And through defense counsel's
What was the instruction the judge gave about the believability of Holmes?
It was IPI, or Illinois Criminal Jury Instruction 1.02, the jury is the sole judge of the believability of the witness. And that overlaps.
Well, that doesn't
similar,
even mention Holmes.
Well, no, it doesn't mention Holmes. It says for any witness, you can look at his...
interest, bias, or prejudice.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, that's I helped write it.
And that is... And that was before the court. So the fact that simply the counsel doesn't... I'm sorry, Your Honor.
No, go ahead.
So the fact that counsel has already put an instruction there that's similar and overlaps with the accomplice witness instruction certainly doesn't show prejudice. It certainly doesn't show deficient performance.
It shows deficient performance. Your only argument is that it didn't make any difference in the result. Certainly should have requested the accomplice instruction.
But deficient performance, Your Honor, the U.S. Supreme Court in this court has said...
That's all he has going for him, is the fact that a jury might distrust an accomplice. Of course he should give the instruction.
That hardly qualifies because he gave a similar and overlapping instruction.
It's not similar. Not similar. That's completely unrealistic.
It asks that the jury look at the bias and the prejudice and the interest of all of the witnesses and then take that into a considered in light of all of the evidence. And so...
That's just boilerplate. The accomplice instruction focuses you on the key witness. Look, it's a perfectly good instruction. I mean, obviously, if it'd been requested, it would have been given, right?
It could have been requested.
What do you mean, could have been?
Would the judge have
had any basis for not giving it?
It would have been given. Just take that position and sit with it, because that's what would have happened.
Well, I have to certainly respect Judge Bauer's comment, but again, what you are looking at is the fact that was there prejudice. See, what we're looking at is whether or not the petitioner was prejudiced in light of all of the evidence, and the fact is that the appellate court's holding that there was no prejudice was an entirely reasonable and consistent with the facts and within the bounds of the permissible alternatives. And it was certainly minimally consistent, which is all the respondent has to show. The petitioner never shows in his arguments that but for counsel's failure to offer the instruction, the outcome would have been different. And what counsel is in essence saying, again, is that this court should reweigh the evidence. It should look at the evidence of the...
Was the jury informed about this terrific deal that Holmes got?
Yes, the jury was informed of the deal Holmes got. I believe that was on page 51 and 52 of the record. It came out during cross-examination.
They were told about his sentence?
Yes, they were told about his sentence, that he could have had... He was charged with murder, and he could have got...
I guess only 6 years. So did Blunt's lawyer point that out in his closing argument?
I believe he did, Your Honor. He certainly pointed out the lack of his thoughts of the lack of the believability of Holmes and the deal that he got. So all of this was before the jury, through the testimony, through the cross-examination, through the closing arguments. And certainly none of this that counsel mentions was withheld from the jury. The jury knew all about Holmes. The jury knew all about his testimony, and counsel not only had the opportunity to cross-examine him, but did so in specific detail. So based on all of that, Your Honor, we argue that, in fact, there was no petitioner has not shown prejudice, and that is we would ask that this court affirm the district court and deny the habeas petition. And if the court has no further questions... Thank you very much.
When the police officer was pursuing the car, what was he driving, a regular squad car? Was it obvious that he was a policeman?
I believe so, because...
Pursuing these guys, then they run out of the car?
Because the red Chevy hatchback in the record, after...
No, we're talking about the police car, not the car being driven by Blunt.
I understand that, but yeah. The hatchback, once they saw the police car, sped up and tried to get away.
That was the question. The police car was a police car identified as such. Said police car was a black and white as opposed to an undercover car with no markings.
Yes, I believe so. After they saw that, the red car sped up and then crashed.
That's some evidence for you.
I'm sorry?
That's some evidence for you.
The evidence for us is the evidence in total, Your Honor. All of it. We believe that Holmes and the three witnesses, and Officer Lewis and Officer Marzagas, and I don't believe it would be appropriate
to take...
You're
out of time, too.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ben. Mr. Cohn, how much time does he have? 5 minutes?
The court in United States versus Bernard, I cited in my brief, and I apologize for not having the... which court of appeals it is, has said, as many courts of appeals have said, is that arguments don't stand in the place of instructions. And that's because the courts recognize that especially strong instructions make the difference to jurors. Also, if this instruction had been...
But is Mr. Benton correct that Blunt's lawyer did mention the deal that Harris had made with the...
I think the government brought it up.
The final argument of the defense lawyer, which is so weak as almost to be no argument at all, is attached to my reply brief. And Your Honors have an opportunity to review it. And it's very clear there that the details of even the deal and everything else were not mentioned. It was just a sort of throwaway argument. And we should point it out that the Illinois Supreme Court, if it had evaluated this case on the issue of whether instruction should be given, has held that such an instruction must be given, and if it's not given, it's plain error not to give the instruction. So this is clearly something the defense lawyer should have known. He should have known about the impeachment instruction also, which was not given, which tells the jury how the failure to tell things to the police when it should be told originally can contradict it. This is not, and I don't even think the appellate court thought that
there was some type of overwhelming evidence because of what the police officer saw. I'm unfamiliar sufficiently
his
with
it. His lawyer did say, you know, suddenly the state makes him a hell of a deal. He knows that he can be facing 100 plus years. They make him an incredible deal. And they drop the murder case, et cetera, et cetera, and then plead guilty and get 6 years. And he expects to be out shortly. Well, that's pretty... That's putting it to the jury.
And that is the moment where he should have said, what does that mean? The judge is going to tell you what that means. And that means is that his testimony should be considered not like every other witness, but his testimony should be considered with caution and care.
Surely the jury understands that without being told.
Your Honor, I don't think, you know, we say the jurors must be given the proper instructions because they don't understand it. They're lay people.
Some things, but they probably understand it.
Not that should be given with caution.
Lop 94 years off your sentence, you'll be predisposed to cooperate with the government. Right,
right, but that doesn't mean that your testimony should be considered with caution.
It should be disbelieved outright.
Well, maybe you can't say that. The lawyer could say that. But the judge can't say that. All we're saying is that this lawyer should have asked for an instruction which he could have received, and there's no strategic reason not to do it, and there's clearly prejudice. The issue is whether there was prejudice. And the appellate court, the state court, said there is no prejudice because the evidence is overwhelming. And the evidence just wasn't overwhelming. And therefore, he made a factual finding inconsistent with the facts in the record, and based on the habeas corpus, standard habeas corpus, should be granted. That's all. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. And you were appointed, you know?
No,
you're not.
Well, let me put it this way. I was hired in the state PC, okay? After that, the defendant's mother died, and I just continued on my own, as I do in many cases. And I don't ask to be appointed, because to be appointed, you have to click a list of your hours. And my attitude is I'm not a cab driver. I don't keep listing. I don't have a running ticket, so I'd much prefer to just do it.
Okay, well, we thank you for your
I don't like cab drivers. I was one.
I was a good humor ice cream man. I just don't like to keep track of things like that.
Don't blame you.
Well, thank you to both counsel.